Item 9, we now have petitions. We have received a petition with 5,270 signatories requesting that Spelthorne Borough Council does not release 19 greenbelt areas currently identified in the local plan for building or other commercial purposes, and to protect the entire existing greenbelt in Spelthorne for generations to come. The matter is referred to Council for consideration and a response. Would Malcolm Beecher please come forward to make the presentation on the petition? Could I just mention, Malcolm, that you have 3 minutes to speak?
Mr. Deputy Mayor, councillors, we are living in unprecedented times. Concentrations of carbon dioxide have not been at the recent levels in the lifetime of human beings as a species and continue to rise year on year. Levels this year have already exceeded peak concentrations of last year and are expected to rise even higher. But we continue to burn fossil fuels as if nothing untoward was happening. We conduct business as usual. However, as the atmosphere gets warmer, our climate is changing, and we are seeing more frequent extreme weather events, more violent storms, droughts, flooding. The recent storms and heavy rainfall across Britain are such extreme events. As if the unrelenting burning of fossil fuels were not bad enough, we are also destroying the planet's capacity to absorb carbon dioxide. We are destroying our forests and woodland. Every tree, every shrub, every hedgerow are now vital for carbon capture and sequestration. Our green belt is no longer just about preventing urban sprawl, but our green belt is a vital carbon sink. The draft Spelthorne local plan has identified 19 parcels of green belt, which the council wants to release for development. These 53 hectares of greenbelt currently absorb some 260 tonnes of carbon dioxide annually. The health and well-being of Spelthorne residents is as important as building homes, if not more so. In order to release any greenbelt, it is incumbent upon the local authority to provide evidence that there are exceptional circumstances, such as no more brownfield sites available, to be compliant with the National Planning Policy Framework. These exceptional circumstances do not include a justification to build warehouses or a provision for commercial opportunities to property developers such as Persimmon Homes, Angle Property and Fairview Estates. The real tragedy of this is that there are sufficient brownfield sites that can be developed. If we approach the development of existing brownfield sites with efficient and innovative design, we can build the number of homes required for Spelthorne, even at 603 homes annually. Government targets are not mandatory. A spokesperson for the Ministry of Housing, Communities and Local Government said at the weekend, local authorities have a responsibility to assess the number of homes their communities need. The onus has been put back on councils to set the target based on the council's assessment, not the government's. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Beecher. May I now invite Councillor Beardsmore to respond to the petition.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. I will respond to the petition, but I also reserve my right to speak in the body of the debate that follows. Firstly, to clear up one or two things. I've mentioned it already in some of my questions. I believe residents deserve more than a series of facts when they get answers. So to the answer to this question, there is also an evidence base attached, which has got websites and a table on, and then you can actually see where we get the answer that we're giving you, rather than just taking, I've said X, that's it. So that will come, you know, there. It's a page of websites and tables that will go with the question and be online for you to double check on. Where do I start with this petition tonight? I want to clear up a couple of misconceptions. Apart from two small sites, Spelthorne own none of these properties. Spelthorne will not be building on any of those other sites. Spelthorne will not be making any sort of profit from any of those other sites. Spelthorne is legally required to do a call for sites. We are legally required to take seriously and consider every site submitted, whether we like it or not. But in the end, the decision to build on all those sites won't be taken by Spelthorne. It will be taken by the government inspector. And as I said, the next consultation that we do, or all you want to say, will go directly to that inspector if you don't like what we've done. It's difficult to where to start with this petition. Because frankly, a lot of it is just, and a lot of the information that went around it is plainly wrong. It is simply wrong. We've heard about the evidence base. That's the evidence base. There's an awful lot of it. The links in there, try and read it, it can be quite dry, but I've been through it. There's a very wide, sound evidence base for the conclusions we've come up with. For the record, 92% of the Greenbelt area submitted for development was rejected. We've only found 8% that the evidence says is possibly, potentially, or might be used for housing. It is claimed that we did not include such things as a biodiversity analysis. False, we've already covered that in the questions. And while it is not, biodiversity is not a function of Greenbelt. We consider this and other non-Greenbelt functions as far as possible through the sustainability appraisal. And all of these, again, they're linked on the evidence base and they're linked in some of the questions. It is claimed that 29 sites, brownfield sites, were rejected. Despite being repeatedly told this was wrong, the proponents of the petition refused changes. It is false. All those 29 sites were included in the Strategic Land Availability Assessment, SLAR, and they are included within our supply already. This consultation was simply about moving them from that pot of sites to this pot of sites. And we have decided it would appear that the trend is that we won't do that because those 29 sites are less predictable in how they come forward. It is claimed that only 2,947 homes were allocated on brownfield sites. False. The number is 7,103, and there's a table attached to the evidence base detailing all this. They are made up of 2,671 urban, 1,997 SLAR sites, 1,600 stain sites, and 8,835 windfall sites. Lastly, there was a claim, plus other sites that might arise. False. We've already included 835 windfall sites in our calculations. To sum up, statement that there is no evidence base. False. Not considered other sustainability issues. False. Do not include 29 brownfield sites. False. Did not include many other brownfield sites. False. Did not include windfall provision. False. Given the dishonesty around this petition, it would be all too easy and in many ways justified simply to dismiss it entirely. But actually, I think that would be missing the point. I am sure many of the signatures to this petition represent people who are genuinely concerned as we are about Greenbelt. And simply dismissing them because of the actions of few, I think will be wrong. We are therefore very aware of how strongly people feel on this matter, and this in part. So when considering what to do with this petition, I would ask members to keep in mind the fears and concerns that this petition represents, which are very important and which we need to know and which we need to be very aware of. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Right. I will now open the petition for debate. May I remind councillors that you may only speak once on the petition and you are limited to no more than 5 minutes. We'll first take Councillor Sider.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor, and I'm grateful for 5 minutes this time. Members will be aware that I've spoken on more than one occasion on the local plan, and in doing so have highlighted my concerns, not only in Shepperton, but also in Charlton Village and other areas in the borough. This borough is 65% greenbelt and 20% water. And dealing with Shepperton Town, where there's a proposal to put 200 houses just behind Old Charlton Road, well, this particular field cannot sustain such a development. Many years ago, it was designated flood plain and nothing could be built there. And not only that, Old Charlton Road itself, two cars can't pass each other, and the amount of traffic that such a development would come forth would be totally unacceptable. And at the end of this road, there is the Ashlink Nature Reserve. And this was the first of its kind in the borough and was opened by Her Majesty's Lord Lieutenant. And those volunteers who were responsible for this gem were subsequently awarded the Queen's Award for Voluntary Service. And in Shepperton itself, the skate park and multi-games area are sacrosanct. It took myself and my two colleagues some 2 years to get the green light for this to go ahead for young people. And in Shepperton itself, with this proposed development, the medical centre at this point in time has 15,000 patients, and it's hardly likely that it could sustain any more. Charlton Village is what it says, a village. Or it could be better described as a hamlet, steeped in history and with an ambience much admired by other authorities. But it is here that a development of some 380 dwellings is proposed, which would destroy its identity in entirety. Indeed, a proposal to increase housing by some 88% is not only criminal, but bordering on insanity. There is no infrastructure to support such developments. This is not China, where they built a hospital without planning permission in 1 week. Infrastructure is very important. In one breath, the government tells us to preserve the green belt, and in another, sanctions opening up parcels of green belt which are alleged to be underperforming. This is a get-rich-quick opportunity for landowners. Travellers are included in the local plan, but where should such a transit area be identified? Residents have a mortal fear of travellers, and in the financial year ending 2019, the cost of clearing up after their departure from various areas in the borough amounted to some £56,000. Greenbelt is, so we're told, is designed to prevent urban sprawl. With the future of some 603 dwellings proposed each year, then this is nothing short of nonsense. We cannot play fast and loose with the Greenbelt. And what of the animals and the plant life? Who is speaking for them tonight? Well, I am. They are part and parcel of our community and our borough. Their habitat is constantly being eroded by developers. Hedgerows are disappearing at a fast rate, and so is the hedgehog. The sparrow is in decline, as are other species. Green spaces are to be enjoyed by people like ourselves and our children. But where are we now? One saving grace is that a Member of Parliament has had a meeting with the Secretary of State, who issued the directive of the number of houses we must produce, and the MP's mission being to have these numbers reduced, so that what was muted in 2016, which was over 200 less, then we are faced with drawing the line on this. For instance, Oxfordshire District Council told the Secretary of State that they couldn't cope with the numbers that they were required to build. In reply, the sword of Damocles was held over their head by the Secretary of State, and saying, either you produce a local plan, or I will instruct Oxford County Council to protect one. And of course, if this were to happen, they would then have to no say in the matter. We don't want this to happen in Spelthorne and be told that Surrey County Council would provide our local plan. They have already gifted us the ill-conceived waste transfer under the guise of an eco-park, and have since given planning permission to extract gravel from Water Splash Farm, all against our wishes. But then, of course, we're the only borough north of the river. In conclusion, Mr. Deputy Mayor, whilst we await the report back from the Member of Parliament, I believe it would be foolish to embark on any other course at this point in time than to keep the local plan under constant review, after which we can make a decision on which path we follow. Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Councillor Smith Ainslie.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Do we need something to be moved at this stage of the three options that are available to us from this petition?
Can I ask, are there any other councillors who wish to speak on this? Yes, there are. Shall we take Mr. Durfell? Councillor Durfell.
I've just got a question. Having looked at the roots of the procedure and the constitution, I do not understand why Councillor Beardmore would have a right to reply at the end. If he has a right to reply at the end, then one of the petition organisers should also have a right to reply at the end, because the constitution does not provide for Councillor to speak twice.
Councillor Durfell, is that the only question you wish to ask? Is that the only contribution you wish to make?
Well, of course not, Councillor Barnard.
Thank you. Would you like to speak and make your point then, please?
I would like to make the point later in the debate, if the issue can be resolved, because I spoke to Mrs. Limmer right before about who has the right to reply. This is a very important issue and I would like it to be resolved, please.
Councillor Durfell, I must insist, this is your moment. Please take it.
Could I have a qualification from an explanation from Mrs. Limmer, please, about my question, because we expressly discussed it before and I was assured that every councillor can speak only once and that I can speak towards the end of the debate.
I'll confirm, Councillor, that you have one opportunity to speak, which is now. And the reason that the petitioner doesn't have a right to speak is because we are now in debate. So it's councillors only. Thank you.
I will now speak and I will still challenge Mr. Beers not being allowed to speak twice as a councillor. That is unconstitutional in the Spelthorne Constitution. In terms of the submission, Councillor Beersmore clearly hasn't read the petition and the explanation, because he makes entirely unfounded allegation against it. We have amended in the explanation about the rejected 29 brownfield sites. We have amended it, even though it was clearly misleading the information because that was headed rejected sites. In any case, what matters in this in the local plan is that the council is attempting to build on 19 greenbelt sites. Councillor Beardsmore is wrong when he states that it's for the government inspector to decide to build on greenbelt. That is entirely wrong, and I have information from the ministry, clear letters and Home Office guidance that states that the decision that there are exceptional circumstances that will allow building on greenbelt can only be taken by a local authority and cannot be taken by an inspector. In terms of Councillor Sada, I agree with what you say, but when it comes to the assertion that South Oxfordshire is somewhat representative of what would happen to Spelthorne, this is unfortunately entirely wrong. There have been no interventions with any council, and the reason that South Oxfordshire was threatened with intervention, and that hasn't been made clear at all, is that they have benefited from significant funding for infrastructure as a result of the Oxfordshire growth deal and a housing and infrastructure fund of over £200 million from the central government. So the central government would risk losing their investment of £200 million, and of course they're slightly aggrieved by that. That doesn't apply to Spelthorne Borough Council. In terms of the figures of 603 houses a year, the government methodology clearly states that the standard methodology is not, and I stress, not compulsory. I read out the guidance, the government guidance, Housing and Economic Needs Assessment. It states, is the use of the standard method for strategic policy making purposes mandatory? No. If it is felt that circumstances warrant an alternative approach, authorities can expect this. No, if it is felt that circumstances warrant an alternative approach, but authorities can expect this to be scrutinized more closely at examination. There is an expectation that the standard method will be used and that any other method will be used only in exceptional circumstances. Now, the standard methodology assumes that if you flood a market with housing, it becomes cheaper. It doesn't apply to the southeast. It will never happen. And Tory Council Wokingham is challenging exactly that point, because the same thing applies there, and they are putting forward a local methodology. We should be doing the same. So this is clearly something we can be doing. Secondly, the greenbelt is in fact a constraint on housing figure. So it reduces the housing figure. The figure that comes out of the standard methodology is a starting point, the 603. It's not the end point, which is how this council has been treating it. The fact is, the government guidance says, on housing and economic land availability, should plan makers override constraints such as greenbelt when carrying out the assessment to meet identified needs? And it answers, plan making bodies should consider constraints when assessing the suitability, availability and achievability of sites and broad locations. For example, assessment should reflect the policies in footnote 6 of the National Planning Policy Framework, which sets out the areas where the framework would provide strong reasons for restricting the overall scale, type or distribution of development in the plan area, such as greenbelt and other protected areas. For council to concede that there are exceptional circumstances will open Pandora's box and will open up all greenbelt areas to scrutiny by a planning inspector who would otherwise not have power to demand this. And clearly, from the meeting with the Ministry of Housing, and we've had a release from the Freedom of Information request, the meeting note being summarised, it says, Spelthorne were advised that any plan looking to deliver less than their local housing need will be rigorously tested at examination by the planning inspector and by the developer's landowners. To justify a lower target, every stone will need to be turned in the search for suitable sites, and this was a process being undertaken by LPAs up and down the country. Well, others do that. As Councillor Harvey said, it's action, not words we need. Fight for the local plan, fight for the residents. This is what the residents want. Furthermore, local inspectors, national inspectors, have to work with council.
Councillor, could you sum up?
National inspectors have in their guidance that they should work with council to develop a consensus. We don't go in capitulating. This is what the residents want. You put forward a local plan that doesn't concede exceptional circumstances, and then you do your homework. Like other councils, like Brighton ended up with less than 50% of the standard methodology, like Birmingham doing that.
Thank you, councillor. Yeah. Time is up.
And in any case...
And now I call on councillor Mrs. Sue Doran.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Chair. I would like to point out that this evening all we've been talking about is building housing on green land. In Stanwell, we're going to have two or three very large warehouses added to us. Do we need that? That is going to take up the affect climate change. It's also going to affect the air quality. I don't might care whether we did it in by Heathrow or by Bedford Road. We just can't sustain that. And we're going to put our residents in Stanmore North health in risk, because there is two roads where they will be surrounded on three sides by huge, massive warehouses. We have Country Road, the Bedford Road is. It's a single track either way. It has massive juggernauts going along there. Three people have lost their lives there this year. We don't know for what reason or who was to blame, but we stood on the corner with a reporter 2 weeks ago and watched juggernauts bombing down that road, not caring how they turned in and out. And there are residents living there and have to live there. So can we just not consider housing, but the fact that this council wants to build two or three warehouses that are going to affect our residents vastly and put their lives at risk? Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Duffel, could you please turn your microphone off? Thank you. I now call on Councillor Lagden. Thank you.
Yeah, I won't go through the points again that Jan and Malcolm have made very eloquently, other than to just urge you all to vote with option A, that is to just stop what's being attempted here with the Greenbelt. All along I've said that the Greenbelt should not be up for grabs. We shouldn't be jeopardising our parks and open spaces. I think the point about the inspectorate and we're being told that this is a requirement, it's out of our control, and it's only going to be a limited amount of greenbelt. We shouldn't accept that. We all know that in time it's going to be a little bit more, give an inch, take a mile. Eventually this is going to get a lot worse potentially. So I think this council was more than happy to support, not just accept, the expansion of Heathrow. That was from what was being said in this council chamber. Yes, the documents may show that there was criticism and there was lots of research that went into tackling this at a government level, but from what I saw in this council chamber, Heathrow was a definite thumbs up. You know, this was going to be great for business, great for staff, great for local opportunities. I think the courts have quite clearly shown that, just like with the Greenbelt, sometimes what you're told from national government and what you're told is best is not actually right. So it's about whether or not we're going to vote here for you know, just if you vote to allow the Greenbelt to be opened up, it doesn't make you the bad person, but it makes you the wrong person. So I urge everyone to vote option A. Let's just stop this, nip this in the bud now. Yeah, all councillors must weigh, I think, with their hearts, not just with their heads and what we're being told. Okay.
Thank you, councillor. Could I now ask, is there anyone else who wishes to speak? Councillor Seaver.
So I agree absolutely with Councillor Dolphel, Lagden and Malcolm Beecham, who provided a comprehensive and cogent case for why we mustn't release 19 Greenbelt sites for property development. It's ironic, as everybody's mentioned, about the District Court of Appeal's decision today, ruling that Heathrow expansion is illegal on climate change grounds. It's ironic that we're discussing the dangers of building on Greenbelt. This groundbreaking decision must surely compel the government and local authorities to put the climate emergency first when making decisions for Spelthorne and definitely rule out building on Greenbelt. Spelthorne Borough Council must challenge the government's use of the outdated 2014 housing projection figures as permitted by the Ministry of Housing. We should calculate our own housing requirement with consideration to the health and well-being of Spelthorne residents, our wildlife and the special circumstances of each ward and the damaging consequences of the course of building on Greenbelt. This will then be submitted for approval to the National Inspector. Again, Spelthorne Borough Council should join the London Greenbelt Council, which has over 100 members, including numerous councils, not just in London, but in the South East, and be part of the national movement that vehemently opposes building on Greenbelt.
Thank you, Councillor. I now call on Councillor Harvey.
Mr. Deputy Mayor, I trust this will be the summing up for the vote. I'm entitled to have the summing up.
No, we've got Councillor.
I reserve my right on that. I'd like to speak at that point, please.
Is there anyone else would like to speak? Councillor Nicholls.
So on a point of order, Mr. Deputy Mayor, could you please explain how the voting mechanism is actually going to work? We have no proposition, and I'm unclear as to what it is we're actually doing.
The situation is that we're in the substance of the debate at this stage, and the opportunity is there for any councillor to speak for up to 5 minutes, and then we will ask for a summing up. Thank you. Councillor Nicholls.
In the light of your response, I would like to speak, Mr. Mayor. I don't actually know what I'm speaking for or against because I don't know what's been tabled. Sometime in a month or so ago, the Liberal Democrat group wrote to Councillor Harvey suggesting that the Greenbelt areas should be reconsidered in detail with input from residents. We did not receive an answer to that, and that remains our view, that everything should be reconsidered. However, in a binary choice between Councillor Sider's suggestion that we push this into the long grass and whether or not we should reject any use of the Greenbelt, I would personally favour rejecting the Greenbelt. I am very unwilling to allow this to go back into the leaders' task group where it can be carry on in secret. That task group has got three agendas in public view. No minutes have ever been published. There's no input from any councillors other than Councillor Beardsmore from outside the Conservative group. And this is not the way that this should be settled. What we need is the active participation by people having a real chance to give their input. So, as it stands, I believe I will be voting in favour of retaining all the Greenbelt, but I don't know what the motion is.
I'll now call on Councillor Smith Ainsley to speak.
Yes, Mr. Deputy Mayor, what I was intending to do was to move one of those three options, A, B or C, but am I in the situation now where I speak and then I move the option I was thinking of at the end of it?
Yes.
Right, I shall go that way then. Yeah, I know that most residents want us to basically go ahead with A and accept everything that's in the petition, but this would put the council in a very difficult position, as some Greenbelt sites, particularly the small isolated ones, perform very poorly as far as the five Greenbelt principles are concerned. And I presume people know this, but to check the unrestricted sprawl of large built-up areas, prevent neighbouring towns from merging into one another, assist in safeguarding the countryside from encroachment, and preserve the setting and special character of historic towns, and to assist in urban regeneration by encouraging recycling of derelict and other urban land. If the site can't demonstrate it delivers on these, then it's very difficult for the council to argue the site has to keep its Greenbelt designation, which is what this petition is basically asking us to keep all Greenbelt. And not removing those sites from the Greenbelt would present an immediate problem when our local plan goes for inspection. Planning inspector would be highly likely to question the credibility of our Greenbelt assessment. And throw our plan out. So accepting the petition would not enable us to serve our residents as we should. Rejecting it could be argued, but I know that residents would quite rightly think that we're not representing their views by doing that. Noting the petition is therefore the option left out of those three, and those are the only three we've got according to our constitution. And I would argue it's the best option for the residents of Spelthorne. We are aware of other authorities not releasing greenbelt for housing and going forward to inspection with what is fundamentally an unsound plan. And in fact, on the South Oxfordshire one this very morning, the officers have told South Oxfordshire Council that they should drop their attempt to stop their plan going forward and carry on with the large number that originally had on it, which is the reason why they stopped it. That's the sort of the unwanted consequences of losing control of the local plan to a higher authority, such as the county council or the secretary of state, is not something we want. Other authorities have gone to inspection, like Welling and Hatfield, without enough numbers. They've been told to go back and do another greenbelt assessment to get more numbers because they've tried it on with a lower number than in the figures they should have got. So anyhow, we've sent out our greenbelt consultation and we will be looking at the responses to it. We'll be evaluating them and where possible making amendments to our proposals. And we will be looking at, as Councillor Durfell was saying, these exceptional circumstances. We're not ignoring the views of our residents. What we're doing is carrying out our duty to deliver a local plan that will be sound and will be the basis of how the borough develops in the next few years. As well as what is being published, I can assure residents that the recommendation to keep this petition under review would be a very real commitment if we go that way. You've already heard that not only the leader but also our MP, Kwasi Kwarteng, have been putting our case in support of our residents to the Ministry of Housing, Communities and Local Government. And you've heard that only this morning we heard that Kwasi had been informed that the Right Honourable Robert Jenrick, Secretary of State, said housing numbers will be reviewed after the budget. So councillors and officers are working hard in this local plan working party and in the meetings we had to get these housing figures adjusted to enable us to remove some of those greenbelt sites from the proposals, which is why I'm going to move on and say the option C. And this will be done by looking at those exceptional circumstances. And most importantly, this has to be done in a very professional manner to ensure that when our local plan goes forward for inspection, we have a strong defensible position regarding those housing numbers. And we would like to see in this emerging plan rather than the government's figures. And I therefore commend the motion that we note the petition and keep the matter under review to members if that is seconded. Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Aitken. Can I ask for is that seconded?
Mr. Deputy Mayor, I would like to second that petition and that motion, and I reserve the right to speak.
Point of order. Point of order, Mr.
Councillor Nicholls.
We are offered three options. Constitutionally, that is incorrect. Under 16.4, it should be the fourth option presented. Under item E, the petition will be referred to the Cabinet or Overview and Scrutiny Committee for further consideration. There are four options, not three.
That is correct, Councillor Nicholls. Councillor Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I believe that it's pertinent that we understand more about what this 900,000 Greenbelt Defence budgetary pot that we put aside is about. And I would like to ask a question that could be clarified in greater detail by the portfolio holder, please.
You need to speak on the motion, whether we keep the thing under review or otherwise.
I'm actually a member of the local working party, and despite the aspersions of Councillor Nicholls, I I can assure you it's no secret place. We work very hard, and we have a team of highly professional planning officers that also work with consultants. So a very professional job has been done. It's very thorough and it is very open in terms of everything that is published and that goes forward. And I think Councillor Beardsmore has made it clear that everything will be, following the previous consultation, will be published. There is no secret thing going on here. We all want the same thing. None of us want to build on Greenbelt, but we do have to take a balanced approach, a reasonable approach, and a pragmatic approach to what we're required to do legally to make sure we do provide for our future generations. We have to take consideration the needs of all our residents, some of whom may or may not be as concerned about the Greenbelt. It is important that we keep control of this process, and it will be reviewed, as you know, going in a year's time, and there's a whole process that we have to go through. It would be unwise at the moment to take the control of the local plan out of from the council, and therefore I support the motion that we note the
thank you, Councillor.
For later. Thank you.
Councillor Fidler.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. And, thank you. I would like to speak in regards to the motion, which is such that we note the petition and keep it under further review. And to my mind, this is contrary to Councillor Harvey's comments there. I do feel that the danger is, though, that we keep pushing this further and further down the road. And the more that we push this down the road, the more stuff goes on behind closed doors that's not being revealed. I recognise that reports will be revealed and released as per, as they're released, but the point is that this has never been subject to full council scrutiny. And to my mind, that is something that is still very important, and something that the residents are also welcoming. Actually, where residents have been able to be involved in the process thus far, we've seen worthwhile contributions, and that's why there have been 350-page responses to the local plan. And I think this is an important part of this for me, is that the local plan is meant to be a plan that is designed with people in mind. And I fear that if we just note this, and we don't make a move, and we don't make a statement on this, today, or we allow for further debate with all councillors rather than just saying it be noted and discussed exclusively behind the closed doors of the local plan working group, that we face putting ourselves in a position whereby the green belt will just go on and will continue to be used as a bargaining chip, which is not something that I feel Councillor Seidel would want, nor any other councillor, and by my understanding, by the nature of the discussion so far, that anyone would want, that the green belt as a whole is up for discussion and up for grabs. So that's why I will be rejecting the motion to note it on this occasion and asking that we make some more definitive action that either incorporates more voice of councillors and residents or making sure that we make a decisive decision this evening. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Paul.
Oh, sorry.
You went up.
Sorry,
that was
I've just
Is there anybody else that would like to contribute to the discussion?
Yes.
Councillor Spoor.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I've sat and I listen, and I hear two opposing arguments, both of which claim to be right. I don't know which side is, and I think that the suggestion that was made by Councillor Nicholls is the one that we should be looking at. There is too much at stake. There is too much information which is totally opposing. Somewhere between the two must lie the truth. Either we will go and be controlled by the inspectorate, or we won't be controlled by the inspectorate. The only people that can actually come up with anything that we can review as being as close to the truth we can get, I believe, is taking it through overview and scrutiny, to be able to investigate and come up with a solid answer on what will happen if we have no local plan.
Thank you, Councillor.
Is there anybody else who'd like to speak?
Anybody else would like to speak? Right, Councillor Harvey, is someone. Excuse me, Councillor. The seconder, Councillor Lake, wishes to speak.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Sorry, we're all struggling through the procedures here. Right, thank you very much. Right. In this chamber, we are majorly concerned with issues that are within our control rather than national matters. However, the local plan cannot be viewed without mentioning matters which lie beyond our control. I was also briefly on the local plan working party for the plan which we are currently needing to replace. It was a different situation then, as we had the benefit of regional areas across which the required numbers could be distributed. Furthermore, this time, the stipulated methodology of the new statutory needs assessment has resulted in the now well-known target of 603 units per year for our borough. We all feel this can be challenged on so many fronts, not least the inadequacy of infrastructure, likely capacity to deliver the required services, and transport considerations. But of course, over and above all this, it's Greenbelt, because once it's gone, it's gone. We all recognise that. From this internal site, because I am on the local plan working party, I cannot possibly exaggerate the complexities of the minefield that this highly prescriptive process puts every council through. In the end, the interpretation of our final plan and decision whether or not is acceptable will rest with the appointed inspector. And we need that approval, because if we don't have a plan, then we have no say at all on what anybody puts in as an application to build. And they can put in an application, we've got no framework within which we can use to tell them, no, our thoughts are this about the area, you can't put it there. So that is the worst thought of all. I can assure all our residents that we're all very unhappy with the need number and will not capitulate, but the work we are already doing, in the process of doing, will leave no stone unturned to seek a more reasonable and sustainable figure, especially to protect our greenbelt. So, we have been seeking advice from professionals in the subject of local plans, how to argue within this minefield for reasonable targets and for proper account of the particular nature of the borough, particularly our greenbelt, and for instance, at the area of our borough which is underwater. And how and what is legally acceptable, robust evidence? Please, please don't think that we aren't in a legal situation here. As has been mentioned earlier, the leader has visited the DCLG and put our case, and our MP has also met the minister. We are told that we are in a politically different landscape. This should be positive for us. The declaration and intention that development opportunities in the north of the country need to be pursued will surely create work opportunities, and those should bring some alleviation to housing pressures in the south. Climate change is rightly the hot topic here and nationally, and what better reason to develop our greenbelt? So there are a myriad of arguments and reasons that need to be worked through, but in a way that makes sure that they are robust and cannot be challenged and set aside. So we are really all on the same page. It's how do we do this and come out on top? That's what this is all about. And the way we've got a lot more to work through. We've asked residents for views, and there are other stages in the plan where we do that sort of thing. So this is key, please, members. This is really, really to make sure that we don't lose control of the process. although you might say that it's not legal and it's not whatever, in fact the whole process is that councillors have lost control of the process, or are in the process of losing control of the process, and we don't want to be in that situation. We want to get the right answer and put it through and be seen as a council that can put the right arguments and come out on top, which is what we all want. So for those reasons, I support that option C is what we go for tonight, to note the petition and keep the matter under review. That does not mean pushing it into the long grass. It means to carry on with the huge amount of work which is going on at the moment to ensure that we have a robust and sustainable outcome to this process. Because let's face it, when it's gone, it's gone.
Thank you, Councillor Lane. Councillor Sandra Dunn.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I would just like to say that I've listened to all my colleagues here, and I'm going to go back on the same apple I always go on every time, that this side of the chamber does not take part in these discussions that you're talking about.
I do.
Yeah, excuse me, Mr. Bill. This side of the chamber does not take part in these discussions, therefore it is not fair unless it can go to overroom scrutiny. So I won't be supporting your motion on version C.
Is there anyone else who'd like to speak before I ask Councillor Harvey, the leader, to sum up? Councillor Hoff. Oh. Councillor Sexton.
Thank you. I've got two quick questions, if I may. First of all, I note Denise Agalopoulos has left, and I'm not sure if she's able to come back in, and I've just been asked to ask you. And the second, later we are going to discuss the budget, which is a staggering 900,000 for the defence of Greenbelt. Is everybody clear on what that fund is about? Because I'm not sure that everybody around this chamber today really does understand that we are all on the same page. We really do not want anyone to build out our Greenbelt. I think we are collectively all want the same thing, and we need to find a way forward. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. I call on Councillor. Oh, they're popping up. Councillor Hawthorne.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Just some points. Yeah, we all want to save our Greenbelt. I think everybody in this room does. I don't think there's any disagreement on that. I think there's some really good points to be made by Councillor Sideran earlier in the session. And I think, you know, in my mind, we need to continue shaping that plan. We've not finished the plan, but we need to involve and ensure that we involve everybody in this chamber. We've got to make sure that people don't think we've got closed doors. And we need to all work together along with the residents, which is fantastic, signing all them 5,700 plus signatures. But I think we need at this point is, and I will be voting for option C, is to review it, because we've got nowhere near the plan that we need to really work on. Other than that, well done for getting the signatures.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor. Is there anyone else before we move to sum up? Councillor Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. I've switched my radio mic on and off so many times over the last few minutes. I've not got a speech as such, but I just want to make a few comments and address a few points that those people have raised during this debate, so I apologise. First of all, it is not about the local plan tonight. It is about a petition to stop us considering building on Greenbelt. We cannot have our hands tied in that way. Even today, yes, I spoke to the MP this afternoon, but we also had a planning inspector in here all day discussing what our options were, Councillor Beardsmore, Councillor Smith Ainsley, Councillor Mrs. Harvey, and others spent a lot of time today discussing where our options are. And it does certainly seem that it's a little bit of a moving target. We are doing our best on a day-by-day basis to address what we are required to do. I would like to thank Councillor Dovebelt. He obviously didn't believe what I'd said, that his freedom of information request has indeed confirmed that we did go, and we were indeed told that we had to leave no stone unturned in coming up with our 603. So, Councillor Dovebelt, thank you very much for that. I also agree that building more houses to swamp the market will not necessarily drive house prices down. This, unfortunately, is a fallacy of central government. You have to understand the market. So I'm grateful for you on 2 points. Councillor Beardsmore said we're genuinely concerned about the Greenbelt. We certainly are. Many of you will recall the front page of the Surrey Advertiser 3 years ago, where we made our stance extremely clear on developing a strongly performing Greenbelt. So let's just see where we are. We are pushing very hard to reduce the number that we have to deliver so that we can eliminate any Greenbelt sacrifice. We will have a brownfield first policy to ensure that we don't have to have Greenbelt development. Cabinet have created a £900,000 Greenbelt defence budget to robustly defend and preserve our Greenbelt. This is something that is developing, so I can't go into all the details, but it is a budget, it is a sum, ring-fenced within our budget, that is available to use to protect our Greenbelt against unwarranted aggressive attack by developers. So that's where we are on that. Councillor Mrs. Duran has spoken about not wanting sheds on, I assume, Councillor Duran, you're referring to Northumberland Avenue. And you talked about housing, but in the past you had suggested we build houses there. I don't really have a lot more to say, but please be clear, ladies and gentlemen, members, there is nobody in this room who is more keen to defend the Greenbelt here in Spelthorne than I am. Some of you will know I'm a Norfolk boy. We have an awful lot of Greenbelt in Norfolk. I was chairman of my local Young Farmers. We work very hard to protect Greenbelt. I'm sorry if it's funny, Councillor Lagden. Perhaps you've never been to Norfolk. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are doing our level best to protect the Greenbelt in Spelthorne. However, to tie our hands when we're still working to get the best possible deal that we can on the local plan by voting tonight and passing a motion that stops us building on Greenbelt would be lunacy. So, first thing we need to do is rule that out. So, just looking at the options, we can't do item A to take the action of petition requests. We're not going to reject the idea.
Why not?
He cannot tell us we can reject option A, please.
Mr. Mayor, Mr. Deputy Mayor, if I can continue.
Councillor Harvey, please proceed. Thank you.
So, we're not proposing to ignore the petition. That would be equally inappropriate as option A. As the proposer and the seconder and the portfolio holder have all suggested, I am in support of option C, to note the petition and keep the matter under review. Members, ladies and gentlemen, we are reviewing it effectively on a day-by-day basis, based on the information that we get, the feedback that we get from our MP, from the Ministry, and all of the other information that's coming in. So, members, I ask you to join with me in supporting the motion to note the petition and keep the matter under review. Thank you very much, Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Leader.
Could we please have name code?
Yes, that's agreed. Ladies and gentlemen, the motion is to note the petition and keep the matter under review. And we will now take those in favour.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. I will call out the names of each councillor in alphabetical order who is present at this meeting tonight. When the councillor's name has been called, the councillor shall respond clearly with one of the following three responses: for, against, abstain. No other statement or clarification of the vote is required or should be made. The vote will be recorded by the head of corporate governance and then entered into the minutes. Councillors need not stand for this part of the proceeding. Councillor I. Harvey.
For.
Councillor Harmon.
For.
Councillor Barnard.
For.
Councillor Bateson.
Against.
Councillor Beardsmore.
For.
Councillor Boardflower.
For.
Councillor Brar.
For.
Councillor Buttar.
For.
Councillor Corns. Corns.
Me, sorry, beg your pardon. Against.
Councillor Dofel.
Against.
Councillor J. Doran.
Against.
Councillor S. Doran.
Against.
Councillor R. Dunn.
Against.
Councillor S. Dunn.
Against.
Councillor Fiddler.
Against.
Councillor Grant.
Against.
Councillor Harvey. H.
For.
Councillor Lagden.
Against.
Councillor Layton.
For.
Councillor Nichols.
Against.
Councillor Rubinsky.
For.
Councillor Sexton.
For.
Councillor Sider.
For.
Councillor Seaver.
Against.
Councillor Smith Ainslie.
For.
Councillor Spoor.
Against.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. The numbers of votes cast in for are 13, and the numbers against are 13, and therefore the Deputy Mayor is required to exercise his casting vote this evening.
In that case, I feel that we should not close doors on this one, and therefore I'm going to vote for. Right, that motion is carried, and now we'll move on. If any members of the public would like to leave the meeting now, please feel free to do so. But equally, you are welcome to remain for the rest of the business.
Excuse me, do any of you want to hear whether or not we're going to put £900,000 into the Greenbelt?